the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance. acceptance of these three pure precepts: the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day! Oh, happy blessed place! Oh, happy blessed time! Oh, happy blessed path! Oh, happy blessed opportunity! In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dityampi tatyampi sabha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face a new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
I'm just aware of, liking, I would like to avail myself of the support of just being a Sangha. Every once in a while I get to one of those places that, you know, we talked about being on the threshold where you can see,
see both places.
You know, and it seems like a no-brainer to pick.
Right. Let's see, which place would I rather be? The light room or the dark room?
The garden or, you know, the weeds. And yet, you know, there's just this, just watching this karmic pull to, especially, you know, especially when there's information that threatens the who I am or that karmic, you know, structure. Mm-hmm. I just kind of want to go to lapse back into it and feel bad.
So when there's information that comes in that feels like it's threatening the karmic system,
yeah,
the tendency is to want to collapse back into the karmic system.
Kind of,
and to feel bad.
Yeah.
Kind of, this is my awful, terrible place.
Right.
Don't take it from me.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Just seeing that, which is kind of, just seeing, I don't know the words to put to it, but, what's about wanting to choose that?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than go into just another, you know, something that's unfamiliar maybe, but it seems like has a lot more.
So I don't know if this fits, if this is kind of what you're saying, but for me a piece of it is that it's very humbling to see kind of that has the power that it has.
Yeah.
Even though on some level I would project, you're completely clear that who you are is not wanting that.
Yes.
Yeah. That all of that, that, you know, projecting what the information means, the threat, the not wanting to face the threat, the collapsing back into it, all of that, mm-hmm. every piece of it is part of conditioning's
mm-hmm.
world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I like that. It is very humbling. You know, and what comes up for me too is that whole thing, illusion, like, I should be totally in control of this.
Exactly. Yeah.
I should be able to just like
just see that,
pick it
on
one, and you know, choose that right time after time after time, and you know, just sail through this.
Yeah. And I mean, of course, you know, ironically, that is within the dualistic world of conditioning, right? Because
that's
being perfect, doing it right.
Yeah.
It's not just being with what's arising and just, you know, meeting that with, you know, the best I've got in this moment. It's this kind of idea of how it should be and how it should be going in.
Yeah, that's absolutely why that's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really good to see that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's this... and I actually have been working with a mentor, you know, and have been redirected to that, that it's about compassion.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's about compassion in all things, you know, and all, it's not having a certain experience, it's about compassion in whatever experience is there. And I picked up something that I think it was on, I don't know where, but it was on the recorder or something, just about how that place of non-acceptance is just a place of resistance.
Yep.
And it just keeps us from being supported by life in that place.
That's interesting, yeah. The place of non-acceptance is a place of resistance, and that is what keeps us from being supported by life. Or we could even say of seeing that I am supported by life. Because we suspect that even in that, the whole time we're being supported.
Yeah.
Outrageously supported. And we can always see that on the other end of it, right? Oh, I get it. None of that was wrong.
Yeah.
None of that was a mistake. Yeah. None of that was bad. I was doing just fine, but I couldn't see that in the middle of it.
Absolutely.
So the acceptance is really key. And the compassion, you said, is what the mentor was directing you towards.
And I don't know if this is tied into all of this too, but I was also seeing this morning how I tend to look at folks and see, you know, this is just a great projection and exercise. Mm-hmm. You know, there's folks I just idealize and just like, wow, they've got it all together, you know, it comes back to what's wrong with me, but you know.
Exactly.
And so then it's like, there's this wanting to like, to emulate them and be like them, and then the whole time though, the system has me focused on other ways that I'm not like them, rather than looking to the ways that maybe are owning.
Yes.
Those qualities that I see, that I really admire.
Yeah. Boy, I think you really hit on something with that emulate, because that's the way to disown it, in a way. So there I am, I'm going along, and I see this person that I really admire, and I really, you know, see all these things in. And the way to supposedly get me to be a better person and be all those things is to emulate that. Mm-hmm. Which to me, when you say that word, where I go to is, try to figure out what's going on with them and how they're pulling that off, right? How are they keeping all those balls in the air and being so kind at the same time and, you know, love? And then try to do that, which completely puts it out here, instead of what's available to us, which is what you just said, is, okay, I'm projecting that. Where is that in here? Because the genesis of it in here is completely sustainable because it's in here already.
Yeah.
It's not something I have to go out and try to figure out. It's just something to be.
That's been a crucial awareness for me. I can see it has just played out over and over in my life, you know. Just trying to surround myself with these folks that have it together. I'll never quite be like them, but, you know, and just...
I can try.
I feel bad all the time.
Truly, it's such a setup, isn't it?
So I'm kind of excited about just spending time looking and owning the things that I project as like really sterling qualities.
Exactly. And you know, over this weekend, the Rest and Be Thankful weekend, we've been using the metaphor of, you know, being the tulip or the daffodil or the snapdragon or the whatever. And that in, quote, trying to be like, then we're taking away from life this tulip. Life doesn't have that. It has the tulip over there trying to be a snapdragon.
So...
And as you say, maybe other folks would, you know, have experience with it.
Yeah, great.
Thank you. Yeah, I just had a thing come up, same kind of thing about acceptance. Mm. And then this morning, conditioning brought the story up again. Something out there in life that I'm dealing with, and I caught it. You know, I was in that path already, a little ways down. Uh-huh. I don't know how many minutes, but
I was down. Wait a minute, where am I? Scenery's changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the story was going on about what to do. You know, what should I do? Mm-hmm. And it seems like acceptance is the key. Yeah. To as far as the resistance, mm-hmm. of seeing what to do. Mm-hmm. So like turning to the mentor and asking what is the right thing to do, or mm-hmm. However that would be worded, or how, you know, what's the next step?
What's available to me here? What's right. not, you know, I'm not yeah. seeing my way through this.
Mm-hmm. Right, there seems to be some resist or some, it shouldn't be this way. Mm-hmm. Is sort of how it comes up.
Like this situation in your life shouldn't be this way.
And they shouldn't be that way.
Uh-huh.
And if I do this, then I'm gonna get. They're gonna be mad at me, or, mm-hmm. you know, and all of that shouldn't be that way.
Right.
You know, something right. else should be going on.
So you're. It's like it sets you up. You're way behind just from the very start, because yeah. it shouldn't be this way.
Yes.
And so, in some way, you need to figure out, I suppose, how to get it to be the way it should yeah. be. But then, of course, everything you think of, well, no, because then they're going to get mad, and, well, you can't do that. And
there's just no thinking through it,
yeah,
really, because it's the same thinking pattern that I've been doing forever.
It's the solving a problem that doesn't exist.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so, then I'm left with what to do.
Right.
So... And it always seems like there's something I should do.
Right. There yeah. must be. And, so, and I mean, something's wrong here, so there must be something to do about it.
There is something wrong.
Exactly. So in that, I mean, and that's a perfect lock. Yeah. So in the, when we're on the, you know, that road, and as you mm-hmm. see, however far down it, and we don't realize we're on it, and that's the key there, is that we don't yeah. realize we're on it. So when we don't realize we're on it, we can't see the assumptions. That's why assumptions are such a big deal in practice. The assumption is, well, there is something wrong here. Mm-hmm. And of course, for many folks who've been practicing as long as you have, rarely is that actual thing said out loud, because mm-hmm. that tends to wake us up. Mm-hmm. So it can be more subtle, maybe sensations in the body or whatever, mm-hmm. but on some level it means there is something wrong. Mm-hmm. And that always goes with, in the conditioned world, that always goes with, and so I have to do something.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And so that, in quotes, mm-hmm. there is something wrong, is there's a true belief that there is something wrong.
Right.
You know, and that I'm believing that.
Yes. And yeah. that there could be something wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like there really could be.
Yeah.
When, you know, from a centered place, there isn't.
How could there be? There's only this.
Yes. Uh-huh. So, yeah, so that's very helpful mm-hmm. to see all of that, because... And so the only thing left to do that I can see is turn to the mentor yeah. and go, I'm letting this go.
Yeah.
And help me see the next step.
Yeah.
You know, sort of a prayer like we were talking about.
Right. Which really is the acceptance, yeah. isn't it? It's that yeah. place of, okay, this is what is, and all of it. You know, all of it, the situation, my feelings about it, my lack of clarity about it, the, you know, the fact that I went down that conditioned road for a while, you know, all of it. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, here we are. And then what I hear in that sort of prayer, that turning to the mentor, is a willingness to, if there's something for me here, I'm really willing for it.
Yeah, exactly. And I've looked at the fear of not being liked, or the fear of if I do this, they won't like me, or mm-hmm. they'll be mad at me, and that small child who's afraid of that, mm-hmm. and, you know, looked at the pieces of it, mm-hmm. And yet I'm still there,
uh-huh.
you know, like,
yes, yeah.
Yeah, and so then I take care of that child, and
yeah.
and then I'm still there, you
yes.
know, sort of like, you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Like, I think I do.
Like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know, or is there something to do? Or,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny, I was just looking at that, and So looking at, okay, so there's the realizing I'm identified. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then in that moment, there's the disidentification, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, in order to see that I'm identified, there has been a movement of disidentification. And then it sounds like from what you're laying out, then there can be a, oh, that's the this process. You know, so if you've been practicing a while, you tend to be able to recognize mm-hmm. what is it that got, what piece, what thing got got triggered, what mm-hmm. piece of identification, we could say, mm-hmm. got triggered. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's this. And then if there's reassurance that's needed or that sort of thing, we offer that. Often, I don't know how you would describe it, but the sensations in the body or the sort of residue from that remains.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that if we keep referencing that over and over to check if that has it gone, mm-hmm. that's refreshing the identification. Mm-hmm. But if we kind of go into that sequence with a patience and a knowing that in time, mm-hmm. that it begins to unwind itself. Mm-hmm. Do you know?
Yeah.
And so maybe I've, you know, disidentified and I've seen that and I've reassured and I, mm-hmm. and then the belief is, now how come I still feel this way? Mm-hmm. But maybe it's all unfolding just perfectly, mm-hmm. and it's going to take a little bit of time for that, whatever it is, to, you know, it's like recovering from a cold, mm-hmm. you know, I'm better. So why do I still sound like that? Mm-hmm. Why do I still have a little, well, maybe yeah. it's just going to take a little time. Maybe nothing's wrong here either, mm-hmm. and it's just, you know, taking its course.
I just saw something when you yes to everything you said, mm-hmm. and I saw something when you were sharing that the focus is always on what to do, uh-huh. not on not what not to do.
Say more.
So like if I don't do something,
uh-huh. yes,
there's that other piece uh-huh. that other people are telling me I needed to be doing something, uh-huh. or the. In this case, the job requirement is that I'm supposed to do something. Uh-huh. So, there's always that assumption, I have to do it, but I just saw the other piece of, there's also a structure holding it in place of not, if I don't do it, then there's some other piece there.
Some other conditioning?
Some other conditioning uh-huh. related to not doing something.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I could not do something.
Yeah.
Wait to see how it unfolds, uh-huh. which wouldn't be supported by the ego world.
Right.
And then see what happens there.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
when I, like, there was that assumption that I should do it,
right.
do something, and then now I'm just saying, well,
what if I don't? Yeah.
Let's see what happens there.
Yeah.
So it sort of opens something up.
Well, and to me, it changes the whole playing field from something's gone wrong and I have to fix it, to just kind of, this is an experiment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm just paying attention. Well, what if this? What if that? Because you really have to be, A, you have to be present to see that, mm-hmm. to make that choice, and you're going to have to really stay present throughout it.
Yeah, I hear the screaming going on.
Yeah. To not just get sucked back into, especially the external kind of shared conditioning that we all, no, you have to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of like having a savings account.
Exactly.
You have to have it.
I was just going to do health insurance or, you know, you got to get married or whatever it is that we all agree you have to have these things if you're going to be okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so just tying it back to acceptance, that whole, there's nothing moves forward until there's the acceptance of right. this is what's going on, the acceptance of what is.
Yep. Yeah, that is really, isn't it? It's always the portal mm-hmm. to what's possible.
Yeah. Thank you.
There's this thing I'm seeing in the conversation so far, and I'm going to see if I can articulate it, but I'm also seeing it just in a really simple example that I was looking at this morning and of a particular conditioning, which is just, I don't want to. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at it really around, you know, recording it night before I go to bed, you mm-hmm. know, when I get sleepy, and it's like, mm-hmm. no, I don't want to. And so I was looking at that this morning, and mm-hmm. and what I was looking at is in that, so if you're in that threshold between the dark room and the light room, mm-hmm. and if when the eyes are turned toward the dark room, you know, when that's the focus, it feels like the effort required to pick up the recorder and do that action is like this giant mountain, you know? It's like, oh my God, I mean, I could see that it's possible, but oh.
My arm weighs 150 pounds.
That's right, but this is so hard. But I thought, but if you're looking the other way, then you just choose to do it.
It's the old, well, who cares if I don't feel like it? What is that?
That's right, exactly. So, I mean, it just occurred to me that how much difference it makes who I am in terms of where my focus is, whether that's a huge action that's required or a very simple one.
Yep.
And so it feels to me like what I'm just hearing is, so if I'm in that place where it feels huge, then I can tell that I'm identified or at least got one foot in the room.
Yep.
And so then it's like, so what tool is it going to take to turn me back to the right focus?
And what's so funny, I just pictured you going, oh, well, I think it's the recorder.
Yeah.
And then picking it up and realizing, oh, well, that was easy.
There I am. I'm ready now.
Because, of course, just like we were just talking about, in that moment of, oh, wait, I have one foot in the dark room. I'm looking towards the dark room. You're not anymore.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So just, okay.
Yeah.
Back to where to where the focus is meant to be, you know, was where we want it to be.
Yeah.
And that it just removes the mountain.
Exactly.
You know, so it's not like I have to scale the mountain to get where I need to go. I just have to remember when the mountain's there, I'm not looking in the right direction.
Yeah. Yeah. Cuts a lot of drama out.
Yeah.
And a lot of need to be an I who's going to do something.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you. Todd.
I was just enjoying and appreciating repetition in practice.
Mm.
We began the rest and be thankful retreat, with a review of sitting meditation.
Mm-hmm.
I always really appreciate that because it's like, you know, we sit every day quite a bit, a lot of sitting meditation, and without that reviewing it, I can start to lose posture. I can start to lose focus. I can start to lose the intention of why we sit.
Right.
Yeah.
It really is nice, isn't it? I love going into the meditation instruction as if I've never had it before.
It's kind of where I was going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like brand new.
Oh, the front third. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, the crown at the top. Oh, what's the crown? Oh, yeah. There's the crown.
Oh, and you can focus the attention on the breath, like all parts of it, and then you count on the exhalation.
Exactly. And then the encouragement, which it's always been sort of in the back of my awareness, but not really in the forefront, was that we don't move.
Mm-hmm.
We don't move, and it's such a, really a model for not going with the system.
Yeah.
You can't, like this morning, I had a bug on my cheek. And, I had such an impulse to remove it.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if it was a mosquito. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get it, you know, quickly.
Yeah.
And there was a threshold there.
Uh-huh.
I love this thing about the threshold. There's a threshold. I can make a show in full awareness, do what I need to do, but I just chose that, oh, well, that's this. I still, because I believe there was a conditioned response behind that,
uh-huh.
and I still didn't want to deal with that.
Because
that's what would take me out there in everyday life.
So in that moment, removing the bug was not the thing to do.
No.
Allowing it to just be there and sit through it was the thing to do.
Sit through it. And the benefit I saw was it was uncomfortable to a part. It was maybe a young part that doesn't like creepies, always. So the mentor got to come in and just reassure that person, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it was the sensations of it were the ones that sort of, you know, get me sometimes, that they get labeled and then I'm off. And then just quickly when the mentor came in, it was really interesting to see that everything was okay.
And that it sounds like from what you're saying that the mentor coming in to reassure that little part is what allowed you to stay here in the meditation and not need to go off in that little whatever storyline would have been.
Exactly. And we've been focusing a lot about being in the garden. And I'm seeing in meditation with change of behaviors as consciousness is changed. Without a change of behavior, there's no change of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
As the consciousness expands, it seems to me in meditation, I'm seeing more subtle thresholds in that pull, off, mm-hmm. that practice of being here.
Uh-huh.
And I can, it just always comes back to, it's in every moment, saying that active participant.
The active participant
of, uh-huh. oh, you know, I can, oh, but I'm going to stay here.
Yeah.
I'm going to, oh, there's yeah. the pull.
Yeah.
And previously those pulls would take me
mm-hmm.
for how many breaths or whatever it would take.
Mm-hmm.
And now that threshold is like, whoa, and maybe it's like that sense of the dark room mm-hmm. and knowing how I can turn away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I feel like in meditation.
Mm-hmm.
I can see subtler letters, levels of being on that threshold in the breath
mm-hmm.
and saying, well, no, be present. I want yeah. to practice being in the garden. I want to practice,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And it's such a good illustration of why sitting meditation is excellent preparation for our whole life.
Yes.
Because in sitting meditation, with so little going on, we get to see at more and more subtle levels the ways that conditioning attempts to take the attention away.
Mm-hmm.
And that I hear in what you're saying, the increasing ability to realize, I don't want to do that.
Yes.
I don't want to go off with it. So you're proactively in that, in right. sitting, you're actively practicing not doing that,
yeah.
which is going to make that available to you as you're going around in your life.
Yes. Yes. That's a great way to phrase this. Yes. I'm actively choosing not to want to go with it, whereas before it was sort of like that passiveness where it just drew me off, and then I came out and said, like, oh, thank you, I'm back.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was gone, where was I? What was happening? Mm-hmm. And I was in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a place I choose to be.
Right.
And now knowing, or having the experience that I can be in that expanded awareness to know that, or experience that threshold,
mm-hmm.
and to choose that, be here, yep. be here, and then I can take it off the cushion in yeah. every aspect of my life.
So.
And the repetition too with the daily recollection, I love that repetition of that mm-hmm. every day. I look forward to that recollection. Mm-hmm. It's just so much in that.
Yeah.
It's just so much. Mm-hmm. The dharmas and that mm-hmm. recollection, and every day is different with the recollections. Some parts stand out.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Geez, I was looking at that. Oh, yeah, there it is in the
yeah.
recollection, and
yeah.
and then the ending suffering recitation too. It's such a short recitation.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much in that.
Yeah.
There's so much depth in that.
Yeah.
Depending where you are in practice or what you're mm-hmm. looking at or what you're experiencing.
Mm-hmm. And so, like the sitting meditation instruction, it's such a kindness to remind ourselves daily of the core of what we're choosing.
Yes, yes. Because if I'm choosing something or ending something, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because if I'm suffering, I'm choosing something. That's the threshold right there.
Yeah.
If I'm suffering, mm-hmm. I am choosing something over ending something.
Yep.
That's it. That's the point.
Yep. And I love how it's just simply stated. It's not bad person,
yeah.
shouldn't do it, mm-hmm. wrong. It's just how it is. You know?
It's just how it is.
I'm suffering. I'm choosing something over ending suffering.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really good to know. All right, so if I don't want to suffer, I can stop choosing that.
Exactly. Huh. That's it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Gina.
I had some drama going on this morning about whether I should have left my bags out for someone to take them, or if I was supposed to take them, and oh, I boo-booed because I cleaned up my trash and I was supposed to leave my trash. And so I was experiencing all of that suffering, and then I then went through this process of kind of coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I was looking for ways to kind of come to peace with that
mm-hmm.
and to find different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
And just listening this morning, it just feels to me like it's so important. The way that I'm seeing it now is that the process by which I recognize that I'm hurting or suffering
mm-hmm.
is a kindness. That mm-hmm. you know that it's important for me to remember that and to practice being compassionate with that suffering.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because I can go into a lot of mental ways of handling something,
mm-hmm.
but if I don't remember to approach the suffering part of me with a compassionate part of me,
right.
you know, I can just go around and around
sure.
in circles.
Definitely.
You know, and I mean, you know, I was just thinking when we started off talking this morning and listening that, you know, if I saw someone else who was hurting,
mm-hmm.
I would go up and I would be, oh, huh. You know, I'd be asking what are ways that you can feel better, and helping with perspective and reminding them of things that are working and are good. You know?
Exactly.
Rather than saying, gosh darn it, you're suffering again. You did that right again, and you should be able to do this or this.
Or even, okay, well, let's try to fix this, and I mean, can you do it right the next time at least, and let's,
Or I should know better.
Should know better.
Right?
Exactly.
I mean, that's not a helpful thing to do to someone who's suffering.
Exactly.
And there's nothing, and there's that, there's something wrong with suffering, you know, like we're not supposed to be suffering,
That's the layer that gets put on top, because, of course, as soon as you wake up to the fact that you're in a suffering process, you're now in awareness. That's threatening to the conditioned system. So the way to pull you back in is, and that's wrong, you shouldn't have been suffering.
Anything but compassion.
Right.
Anything but compassion. Mm-hmm. And when I remember the compassionate aspect of it, it all melts away. Mm-hmm. There's just that system cannot sustain itself.
Yep.
In the house of compassion.
That's right.
True kindness during that suffering.
I mean, well stated, that when there is the compassion, when we're in the house of compassion, as you put it, that's not a place that suffering can live. So there's really nothing to figure out. There's nothing to do. It's just moving locations.
I mean, that's critical for me because of how I can just start to just noodle it around and just get further, dig my hole deeper and deeper.
Basically, conditioning talking to conditioning.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Penny?
A couple of things. One was, when you were talking about meditation and repetition, sometimes when I'm getting into, I already know this. I remember Sherry once saying that anytime she goes, you know, anywhere and she's leading a retreat and there's a beginning meditation offered, she goes.
Yeah.
Because she always learns something new. And I thought, well, I guess if someone who's been teaching this for 35 years can still go to beginning meditation, maybe I can just, you know, drop this whole thing about I already know this. Mm-hmm. I just have found that so helpful. A couple of things that have come up today. One is, you know, that pull back to the same old. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, and when I was doing ministry, I worked with mostly people who were addicted to one thing or another and substances, mm-hmm. as opposed to the rest of us who are addicted
to
so something.
Right.
But anyway, the thing that people were always told when they like go into treatment or something is when you get out. Don't go back to the same neighborhood, the same friends, the same patterns of behavior. Mm-hmm. And what I was seeing was how the difficulty of moving out of the addiction to conditioning is that all of that is internal.
Yeah.
You know that neighborhood, the friends are all in that same little location.
Yikes.
And what a challenge it is to move to a different location. And not associate with the same folks.
Yeah.
That's really
because, and it's why really, that's a good point, Penny, why awareness is so huge.
Oh, yeah.
Because the only way we can choose to leave the neighborhood is to see that we're in the neighborhood.
Right.
And that's how conditioning does it to us so often, at least when we get into practice, is to hide it.
Yep.
To make it kind of part of the background that we can't quite see. What am I in relationship with?
Walking down here this morning, I was recording, and conditioning so wanted to be the one recording about how I hadn't fully appreciated some things that have happened recently. And just, I mean, it was that threshold thing, and choosing to record about from a different place.
Uh-huh.
Choosing to record from a different place. But yeah. I was so struck with some of what's been shared today, with that pull.
Yeah.
You know? And again, you sort of say, why? You know?
Yeah.
Why would I want to record from there when I can record from there? Well, it's the same. Why would I want to go back to the same neighborhood? Why would I want to go back to the same friends?
Yeah.
Because it's known, because it's what I do, it's the groove. And just in so many little ways, there's that tremendous pull.
Yeah, and you know, really, two things that we've talked about this morning, to realize I don't want to go back to that neighborhood. I don't want to report. That's not me.
Right.
But huge compassion for the being who gets pulled into that, because it is so familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And so it feels like it's me.
Yeah.
So much compassion and patience Yep. As we, you know, make that process of not going there, of letting that pathway die.
Yeah. And then another thing came up, last thing I wanted to mention this morning is someone, we were talking about solutions, you know, conditioning presents that this is a problem and therefore, of course, I have to find a solution. And in language that was being used this morning, what I was seeing was the huge difference between looking for a solution and being open to the next step.
Yep.
And that's one of those places where there are two different worlds.
Yep.
The next step is just part of the continuum.
Yep.
It doesn't solve anything, it's just the next step.
Yep.
And it opens up everything. Mm-hmm. And if I'm going for a solution, it comes from a different assumption, and it's going for the end step. Yeah. The last step, the final step, the thing that will make it all go away and all better.
Exactly, the lack of acceptance.
And what kind of step is that?
Right.
I mean, there's no such step.
Right, exactly.
Really, there's no such thing. And so that was just really helpful to see that distinction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that really the next step is in the acceptance. It's available to us in the acceptance, and it is a movement of acceptance. And the solution is a movement of non-acceptance.
Yeah, and the next step is just that.
Just that?
It's just the next step.
Yeah,
it doesn't solve anything. No. It just takes me here, and then there's the next step.
Yeah.
And so, it's not like, so I come along and there's a problem, and now there's going to be a solution. It's just this ongoing movement.
Yeah,
it's just the next wave. Just, it's such a different world.
It really is. Yeah. Way more relaxing, fun, interesting.
Yeah. Restful.
Restful. Carter.
So I thought I'd share a couple things. One is that there's something about conditioning or that karmatic environment that's addictive, I think.
Yeah.
This narrative that we give rise to strong emotional responses can actually fill the time.
Can actually fill the time?
Right. Sadness, anger. I guess I just sort of put it out there as something I'm aware of. This morning I woke up and found myself consumed with things that consume me in the morning sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
What I noticed is I certainly didn't want to be there, and I would make an effort to short-circuit it with thinking. Suggested using my intelligence to try and work with my intelligence.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't doing real well, but what saved me was so for me, there's a bit of a lesson there that I can't quite put it, but
yeah.
I can't quite. But there's something important there. There was only so much I could do until something came and interfered.
Yeah.
And so there's a lesson there, and that's take the picture is well preserved and it's going home. And as silly as it feels, it seems to the conditioned mind. It's going up on my wall.
Excellent. Very good.
And there's what I did is I drew a sort of childhood scene because I couldn't figure out what else to do with some mountains. So, and I just started drawing in all the things I was grateful for. I got some more things to draw in. So I just found that interesting that something external shocked me, but then it was how I react, how I wanted to. Or there's a choice in how I then took advantage of that.
Yeah.
Stayed with.
Mm.
And I realize for those of us who are leaving today, I get a 3.5-hour opportunity to meditate on my own. And I realize on those drives and whatnot, all the thinking can be addictive, and radio songs. And I don't have a cell really, so I'll be without that, which is good. So I'm looking forward to the adventure of seeing what else I can do with the drive, and you know, use it as a meditation for 3.5 hours.
Yeah. Just, and all the things, kind of the gifts that you've received over the weekend, and the compassion and the kindness and the acceptance and breathing and just being here and practicing all of those things instead of, as you say, what we normally practice is the mental loop of conditioning. We get identified, we try not to be identified. We get identified, we try not to be identified. It's just that loop that it keeps us in. And I think the thing about the picture is so significant because it kind of points at what we were looking at this morning, which is that what conditioning wants us to do is to use it to solve the problem that it's giving to us. And of course there isn't one. So the thing that actually shifts us is just, as we were looking at a minute ago, it moves us to a different place. And in this case, that picture moved you to a different place. And I really appreciated your point about what I heard in it, is that you were open to that, willing for that. So you saw that you were stuck in your usual thing, and you realize, this isn't really what I want. I'm open to something else. And then there was the picture. And because you had that openness already, the picture took you to that place.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad for the picture thing.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing it. David.
Well, I'm really moved by Sangha this morning. I think every single share has just been like a gift. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to practice right now, also standing in that threshold,
okay,
and sharing from a place of kind of looking into the light room.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up into a fairly typical, you know, kind of nightmarish place that I lived from, and having all of that arise and having like the sensations just, you know, overwhelmed and kind of very, very, very common, you know, nothing particularly unique, terrifying, because that's where it happens to go for me personally. There was so much that was said this morning. I can't remember it all, but if I could just pick what the pieces from everybody's share and put them together, it was like the blueprint for walking out of the dark room and into the light room. And as I sat here, during meditation, it was one of those, okay, I'm going to lose it here, either I'm going to start beating myself or crying or something is really going to get acted out here, all the way to the place where I'm at now, which is sincerely a place of, that's all still hanging out, and it probably will be for, and yet everybody in this room has just articulated one little piece of the path that is allowed, it's like, oh yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
And I could feel just a little bit more movement out of that, that hellish place.
Yeah.
And so, that's a lot to be grateful for.
Huge.
I mean, that's so amazing.
Good. It's amazing.
That's phenomenal. Just, the power of Sangha.
Yeah.
It's a real testament to just being here. And
because it sounds like conditioning's bringing out the big guns. I mean, that to wake you up, so here you are at the monastery, nothing's really going on,
right,
all that, to wake you up and to, we can guess, either pull you into the past or the future, I mean, that's how it has to do it, and to terrify you, it's threatened on a very deep level.
Yeah.
You need to do that first thing in the morning on a Sunday morning at the monastery.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, very good point. That you just articulated, past and future, is what, it actually goes with. And it's this terrifying place for the system.
Yeah.
And I said it the other day, and it's just so tricky to get it on some deeper level that it is the system that is the thing that's terrifying. And this has been going on, this particular piece has been going on for, over a year now, and every morning just kind of waking up into that place of like just sheer terror, sheer fear, sickening dread, and to realize, and this is from what somebody else had shared, that there truly is nothing to do about it.
Yeah.
To just sit there on the threshold, knowing that the beating's coming, the beating is there, all those wild sensations are there, the desire to act it out and to do harm to the self or to buckle under it or to, whatever kind of thing. And to just recognize in some ways that, like, there's just so nothing to do about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, yeah, it's, again, humbling, or the word yeah. humbling was used. Mm-hmm. Repetition came up.
Yeah.
You know, the repetition of just coming back, yeah. again, seeing it. You know, standing on the threshold, looking to the light room. You know, addictions, yeah. you know, what we all face, moving to a different neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, everything about it, it yeah. is illustrated. Yeah, it's just...
Yeah, and, you know, as you're talking, David, it just strikes me, again, the level of courage that it takes to really walk this path.
God, I'm so happy you said that, because that is... Yeah, that's the... That was the piece that resonated so much yesterday during our art workshop that we were doing, and that was the poster I had made. Had this big gold heart right in the middle of it, and courage was the main thing in it, because I recognized so clearly. And then when I got home to my hermitage,
that's writing home.
A life dropped in a series of words that it was going to take to continue on the journey. And it was courage, bravery, strength, resolve, stubbornness, patience, and discernment.
Wow.
And it just came in, just clear like that. But the first one was courage,
yeah.
bolstered by bravery,
yeah.
supported by strength,
yeah.
encouraged by resolve,
yeah.
Dug in by stubbornness.
And then comes the patience.
And then the patience.
Which is so amazing, isn't it? In there with the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To not know. You know, because we can just give it everything we've got, all the courage we can muster, all the willingness, all the everything we've got, and we don't know how long this is going to be like this.
Absolutely. That's on my recording from this morning. That I basically, I don't know if it's going to be this lifetime or not. I don't know if I'm going to make it.
Yep.
But those things are required, no matter if it's this lifetime or next lifetime or whatever it is. I was just making a recording this morning that said that I really don't know.
Yep.
I don't know if I'm going to make it.
Yep.
You know, I don't know if I'm going to make it till tomorrow kind of thing.
Yep.
But it's irrelevant because, you know, what I've got is that and the will. And the thing that dropped in after that was the willingness.
Yeah.
You know, as long as there's the willingness to just take the next step, to take the next breath kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, it's been a great morning.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to declare how it was.
Yeah, that's excellent.
I mean, it's just so,
yeah.
I mean, what else is there to say?
Yeah, no, that's so great. It's been a great practice morning.
It's been a great morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't wish it on anybody.
Yeah.
and it's been great. And, you know, the deepest gusho to everybody in the room, because you know, it's the support of Sangha, the power of Sangha, you know, including the willingness that happens in here.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Mm. It's big.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mm.
For me, I think the lifeline has been humor, or a sense of humor, because that's the thing that caught my attention this morning during group.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I don't know if this is the way, you know, this mind works, or, you know, but just was really inspired by the neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
You know, like not going back to the same neighborhood. And all of a sudden, this Mr. Rogers song came.
I just went there. Was it
who are the people on your
neighborhood?
Yeah, except it was who are the voices in your neighborhood.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking the same thing. There's a whole thing you could do around
there. Oh, you know it's going.
Yeah,
yeah,
we'll
just,
watch,
you know,
for
this,
it,
the self-hate
Monday
mailman,
morning.
You know. What's going on today? Oh, just the same old, nothing's right. And that's...
Come over here to my house.
Yeah, I'll show you what's going on over here. Yeah, just this really bad neighborhood. And so, and just just grateful for that perspective, that, you know, that the little thing can shift like that. And, you know, just appreciating... the ability, or I don't know if it's the, I don't know what it is. It's just that something will come in and spark off like a little, you know, pinball machine. You know what I mean? It's just like this.
Like a pinball machine of like ideas and insights.
Out of what seems like nothing. Like it was almost like, you know, like I'm standing there facing whatever direction it is that I am on this threshold, and something drops in and starts off this whole chain reaction of stuff, and for whatever reason, it's it just changes everything, and. What I watch out for is on the heels of that is the conditioning that will be like, well, I got to do something about this, you know,
right? Like, got make bottle it mine or try it or make it happen or
turn it into a tool or something like that that will work next time. It's this like whole superstitious notion that, you know, like I got to call it back to what was happening before. So that somehow it can be a thing.
Yeah, it takes me to kind of what Penny was talking about earlier, of that, I mean, it almost, the way you're describing, turns it into a problem to be solved. Or we could say an issue to be worked out or whatever. So instead of just, okay, that happened in that moment, and just kind of patiently waiting to see, is there a next step with that? Maybe there isn't. You know, maybe that was it, the whole thing in that moment. It was just that inspiration and the fun of that, and on we go.
Exactly.
Or maybe sometimes there is a next step, and then the next step, and then the next step, and then the next step. Who knows?
Because that's exactly it. I think part of it is like this idea that there's got to be a way to, like, inspiration in a bottle, you know, like some sort of product or something like that. And instead, and what you're saying is, it's true, it's just, maybe all of life is just that, sitting there waiting for, well, not even waiting, it implies that, like, I'm expecting something to happen, but just being an innocent bystander to inspiration. You know, Sherry sometimes talks about, you know, keeping your hands open.
Exactly.
So that if something happens to drop in, I'll be there ready for it, but I'm not... You know, it's not like I'm grabbing something you know, snapping my fingers with one hand, keeping my hands.
Because meanwhile, life is glorious. Right here, right now, this is amazing.
Right, and I'm missing it because I'm looking for something.
Right.
It's like that image of that guy, you know, the guy on the roof, you know, with the flood coming up, he's just waiting for something to save him because he's screaming to God, God saves me. You know, so the helicopter comes by. No, I'm waiting for God to save me. And I'm constantly looking for inspiration when it's
everywhere.
It's
all around me.
I'm just going, not it.
That's a good point. I'm looking around for inspiration instead of just being here and being inspired. Life is inspiring.
Like that picture.
It's like, it occurs to us to look at our picture that we drew.
Exactly. Yeah, and this snapping its fingers is the mind that created the problem in the first place.
And deadening.
Deadening.
Mm-hmm. You know, so with that, you know, maybe I'll just look at my picture I drew yesterday. Well, guess what? Well, it's just a scene of a few things. That's not doing me any good. I mean, nothing's going to feel inspiring from that place.
Exactly, yeah. Because it's the wrong pair of glasses on.
Yeah. We're looking in the wrong direction.
Yeah, it's funny that we could be looking at the same thing, but the direction is completely wrong.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you very much.
I was looking at... You know, my thing is, this is it. I had this big insight this week. I had a lot of things. And the way my, the way conditioning translated the supposed to's, you know, like you were listing at the beginning. Anyway, all of them I could agree with. Except it's added, you're supposed to be a monk in mine. Of course, you know, it takes, so.
Whatever you're not.
Whatever you're supposed to be. Of course you're supposed to be, right?
Right.
So anyway.
If you're a this, you should be a that. If you're a that, you should be a this.
Exactly. Exactly, because that's what it is, dissatisfaction. And so I had this super busy solo week as a parent, and it on Thursday night, it starts in. you don't get to go to the monastery. Mm. And I was so grateful because I went, tip, this is it. And I just loved my evening with the two younger kids because so Clara was gone. And I'm like, this is it.
Wow.
This is it. This is it. And I'm not going to let you dupe my life anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, that's so huge what he says, isn't that the voice says to you, do you see? You're not going to get to go to the monastery. And how evil that is.
I know.
To get it. Because normally what we're supposed to do is go, I'm going to go to the monastery.
Right.
And but that was so hate. Saying to me, do you see that you don't get to go to the monastery?
Yes.
I mean, it's just so evil.
It's so evil.
And to realize, wait a minute, because as you say, the only point of that is to wreck a perfectly good evening where I could be practicing here just like I would be down there.
Right. I'm telling you, I've never seen it in the sort of seen it this way, but I've never had so many good tools to just say, you are lying to me.
Yeah.
You are lying to me. This is not true.
Yeah.
This is not true.
Yeah.
This is practice. The monastery is right here.
Yeah.
And this is my opportunity to not listen to you, like when I'm on retreat when I'm down there. It's the same thing. Down there, I have this great supportive sangha where everybody reminds me to practice and be here and not listen to you.
That's right.
And the reason I go to the monastery is so that when I'm up there, I'm not listening to you. Oh my gosh.
I hope you recorded all that.
I didn't, because of course, it didn't occur to me until you just said it right
now.
Yeah, so hopefully...
Well, you will when you get home, and if you wake up and realize you haven't, then you'll find the recording. And then
I heard on this. And then the other thing that was really helpful that I had not thought of, and I was trying to see how they went together, but I too, the neighborhood, I have heard that about, when you're stopping addiction, you don't have the same friends in the same neighborhood. And I can feel the difference. And I was practicing a bit with it this morning. You know, I could just see... It's similar to what happened Thursday night, and I didn't fail miserably yet this morning, except that there's this, it must just be karma, that compelling pull to believe the same story, to associate with the same gang, so to speak, and miss that everything is just perfect. And that doesn't mean good, necessarily, it doesn't mean that, but it does mean that it's my opportunity to practice and to not, I was going to say not make it worse. I don't know, so something may be, kind of pain and suffering. Mm-hmm. So something may be kind of painful, like internally, really, it's that threshold people are talking about. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is the, I can just feel myself having this internal struggle of resistance and karma, and then this thing just wants to pull me into making up, into believing this story that's completely untrue. Mm-hmm. But it's just odd to me.
It is. But as you were talking, what I saw was just looking at that. Okay, so there, I'm out of rehab. And okay, so don't go back to the old neighborhood. Don't go back to your old friends. Oh, okay. I mean, so where do I go?
Mm-hmm.
What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
What's gonna make me happy?
Mm-hmm.
What's gonna comfort me? What's gonna care? I mean, that is. I don't know about those programs, but hopefully they have a huge support for making that bridge, because that is easier said than done. And so what I just saw was, of course, that's the exact same thing internally. And I suspect that's why we have so much support for doing things that light us up. And what, really doing things that care for the human and reassurances and recording, because you've got to give, in this case her, something else to put in that place. Because if you don't, if you just say, stop talking to those people, stop doing all the things you normally do, stop being in conversation with all, but you don't give her anything else, it's so unkind. Stop eating sugar and stop, But we've got to put the human in a position to actually experience the alternative, which is life.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and so what you're suggesting, I think, or what I'm seeing in what you're pointing at is all those things that we know to do. So, early on I was told, sign up for every 3 months, hit a retreat.
Yeah,
and now we have all these other things. Of course,
yeah.
We have recording and listening and email classes and reflective listening, you know, just all those things. And then for me, carrying, well, two things. One that occurred to me is carrying a recorder and noting what I see. I used to do that because someone was pointing at driving home, and when I would leave retreats, because I did a lot of driving back and forth from the monastery, I would just, I wouldn't count, but I would name poles. You know, I would say, oh, telephone pole, cow, driving. You know, I just kind of going back to the basics of where
here.
Am I? I am not going to enter a conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
So although my commute is shorter now, I can do the same thing until I get to that recorder, right?
Yeah.
Sitting in the car.
Yep.
Bird.
Yep.
Water.
Yep.
Sangha.
Yeah.
Dirt.
Yeah. Well, and I would say what you did on Thursday night is giving the human the experience of the alternative. Because what you were getting pulled into a conversation, same old thing, same old story, mm-hmm. same old karma, such a
poor me.
Poor me. But what you saw in that is, I have a perfectly glorious opportunity right here, and you had fun with the two little kids.
Right.
And that, to me, that's the place that shows us, oh, right, there's so much more to life. I mean, there's actually life, we could say, mm-hmm. outside of being in that conversation with conditioned mind.
And it always happens that way.
Yes.
It's always that quick.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you ever noticed that?
Yes.
It tells me it's going to take a long time
exactly.
to feel better,
right.
to disidentify.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
but really, I move my attention to the picture. It's such a good analogy.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Especially if, you know, going all the way back to the earlier conversation, we don't then reference back and go, no,
right,
am I feeling better? Am I feeling better?
Right.
Oh, wait, I'm not feeling
better. Right.
Of course, as soon as we've done that, am I feeling better? Guess where we are.
Exactly.
And guess what the assessment is going
to
be.
It would be totally easy, wouldn't it, to just say, well, no, I'm tired. I'm at the end of my week, and this was
exactly.
lame or whatever. Yeah. Never checking
Never
my experience.
Yes. Right. What's actually going on.
And as soon as I start to listen to the story, it takes the energy and makes it feel bad again.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't listen to the story, it's just, oh, yeah.
Yep. Just keep being, as you say, the bird, the pole, the one. Just keep being in my experience now.
Yeah, the referencing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to practice that.
Mm-hmm. That's our time. Thank you. Come back at 12:40 for another short sit before lunch.